Let's give a warm welcome to San Chan, who's going to be speaking just in a minute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Sam, you're the man.
Uh-huh.
Sam, what is either your best or worst Christmas or your best or worst Christmas present?
I think the most stressful Christmas was that first time, the first Christmas as a married man. So I remember I thought, okay, this has to be really, really special. This gift has to be special. And I left it so last minute. There I was at DJ's on Christmas Eve looking for a present, and all I could find was a little coffee mug, because nothing says I love you quite like a coffee mug. And then the queue was like 90 minutes just to pay for this $5 coffee mug. So that was a very, very stressful Christmas for me.
I imagine you were in the doghouse after that for about 6 months. Sam, what do you do for a living?
Well, for a living, interesting question. I used to work full-time as a medical doctor, and it was great coming back here because I used to work at Mount Druitt Hospital for 4 years. So it felt like a sort of homecoming. And so if you've got a limp, or if you've had an operation that went wrong, or they did the wrong leg, chances are that was me 20 years ago.
So you're the guy they sue, because it's just good to clear
that up. We get
the
right side half the time, and if we don't, we throw the other side in for free. So it's a win-win. Everyone wins.
Now, I keep wanting to call you an obstetrician, but you're not an obstetrician because you would be delivering... You're an orthopedic.
I used to be in orthopedics. Bones, fractures, joint replacements.
So if you want to know more about Jesus or your bad knee, he's the man to see after the service. Now, tell us, what's your journey? How did you come to know the Lord Jesus for yourself?
Yeah, how did I come to know Jesus? Well, it's a long, interesting journey. I was born into a Christian family, and that doesn't make you a Christian, but it certainly helps. Because you get the role modeling from your parents and you see the difference it makes in their lives. I could see how my mother raised me with a real deep sort of love. I could see how my dad was very generous with his money in a way other people weren't. And I used to see my dad reading his Bible every morning, every night, underlining it like it was a really, really special book. Like they were the very words of God. And they made a deep impact on me. And I thought, I want to know Jesus. I want to follow Jesus just like my parents did, just like my dad did. And they would often tell stories about how they themselves and their grandparents converted out of Buddhism in China and how it just liberated them from fear and darkness. So I knew this was a powerful thing to follow Jesus. But, you know, at the same time, I've got to make a decision myself. So around about high school years, I really checked out the Bible for myself. I signed up for some courses to study the Bible in a very systematic way. And then I came to my own conclusion. Now, this book is real. It refers to history, and Jesus is real. And then I was very happy to give my life to Jesus after that.
Excellent. Best thing about being a Christian?
Oh, just having a relationship with Jesus. I know that sounds cliche, but the other day I was thinking about it. When I got married to my wife 14 years ago, you go through these very special vows, don't you? And the vows go something like this, for better or for worse, in sickness or in health, for richer or for poorer, you know, I take you as my wife. And that's what, and that means as a married man, I cannot and she cannot promise me a great life, a rich life, a healthy life, but she can promise and I can promise her that I will be with her through this life. And it's the same with Jesus. He doesn't promise us riches or health or a great life, but he does promise us that he will be with us no matter what in this life. And I think that's the best thing about being a Christian.
That's wonderful. Sam, you're going to come and teach us God's word now?
All right, sure.
Okay.
Can you take these back?
I'll take them.
All right, thanks.
I don't suggest you play these. So if you see them lying around, these recorders, you know where they've been.
Yeah. Don't put them in your
nose.
Mouth, okay?
Do not put them in your mouth. I'm not even tempted, but I'm going to pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, you are a good God, Lord, and we come to you now. I guess we come from all different places and ways of thinking, Lord. Some of us know and love Jesus. Some are interested. Some, they just come, they love coming to Christmas Eve services. And that's great, Lord. We just love having every kind of person here. And Father, we pray that you would actually open our hearts, all of us, and help us to put our prejudices away and to come with an open mind, so that we can hear about who this Jesus is and then begin the journey of wanting to be in relationship with him. Be with Sam, Lord. Help me to teach the Bible clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Sam.
Well, do you remember as a kid, Christmas was fun. And then somewhere along the line you became an adult and Christmas became less fun, didn't it? I mean, as a kid, if someone mentioned the word Christmas to you, that was joy, excitement. And then somewhere along the line, when you become an adult, someone mentions the word Christmas. It's this groan, this stress, this anxiety. Oh, no, only 7 days to go. Oh, no, only 1 day to go. What changed? Well, this is what changed. As a kid, Christmas meant you got presents, but then you became an adult, and Christmas meant you had to give presents. And it's hard knowing what to give, isn't it? It's hard knowing what to give to those nephews and nieces whose names you can never remember every year, whose ages you can't now remember. Are they 4? Are they 8? Are they 12? I can't remember. And the hardest thing is the present to your girlfriend or to your wife, because that gift is meant to show that you, above all other people in this world, you know her needs and wants better than she knows them herself. You've picked up on the hints all year. You've seen what she's hovered over at the shops. And of course, every year I fail this test. And I've been married 14 years now, so I just give up. Every year I just buy something that I want for myself. And that way everyone's happy. And, you know, a fishing rod or a bowling ball or a power tool or something like that. But have you ever wondered, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? Well, I think deep down, all of us, we want a blessing for Christmas. A few years ago, our family, my wife and I, and back then we only had one boy, Toby, we went to Melbourne for a holiday. And we stayed in a hotel where they threw in breakfast for free. And so every morning we ate breakfast in the lobby. And every morning our one-year-old son, Toby, would start making faces at a six-year-old man on the other table. And then he would laugh at him. And this old man would start making faces back at Toby. And he would laugh at Toby. And they did this every day, every morning. And they became best buddies. And at the end of the week, this old man got up and left his table. And then he came over to our table. And then he said to me, "What's your son's name?" And I said, "It's Toby." And this man put his hand on Toby's head and then said, "Toby, have a good life." And then he left. And that was his way of saying goodbye. And I was really touched by it. I thought, that was so nice. In a way, what that guy had done was given his blessing to my son, Toby. And we all want to be able to give a blessing to our children. We want them to have the good life, not the bad life. A life of fortune, not misfortune. A life of blessing, not of curse. And I think deep down, we too want a blessing in this life. And Christmas Day, more than any other day of the year, is the day when we come looking for a blessing. But then the problem is this: where can we find this blessing? Well, I think there are only two ways we can find this blessing. One way, which won't work, and one way, which will work. The first way is called the Santa Claus way. We can come looking for a blessing doing it the Santa Claus way. And we all know the Santa Claus way because it's all summed up in that song. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to know who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows if you've been sleeping. He knows if you're awake. He knows who's been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. And what that song is saying is be good and Santa Claus will be good to you, which is great if you're a kid. But I think when we become adults, we somehow think our God or religion or the universe or karma will work the same way. If we are good, our God will be good to us. If we are good, God will give us a blessing. And this is how we can get a blessing from God. But there are problems with this system. And one problem is it leads to burden, not blessing. Because we forever have this burden: have I been good enough? Have I been nice enough? Or am I in the naughty list? Am I in the bad list with my God, with my religion? And even worse, in the Bible shows us God doesn't play this karma system. And so there will be times we have been good and God is not good back to us. There will be times we pray our prayers and somehow our dad will still get sick with cancer. There will be times we obey the commandments, yet somehow our marriage still breaks down. There will be times we go to church, but somehow our business will still fail. And because of that, we end up being bitter at our God. angry at our God, hurt at our God, and forever rejecting God and religion if we go looking for a blessing the Santa Claus way. So that's the first way we can look for a blessing at Christmas time, the Santa Claus way, where we think if we are good, our God will be good to us. But the second way is the way that will work. And the second way is the Jesus way. And the Jesus way works like this. Our blessing is born to us. Now, a few years ago, I drove my wife, Stephanie, when she was pregnant, going to hospital. And she was just about to give birth. She was in labor to our very first son. And as I'm driving her there, I'm thinking, boy, childbirth has changed a lot in the last 30 years. 30 years when you took a woman to hospital to have a child, they wouldn't let the man go inside. He'll be too much trouble. Keep him out. These days, when you take a woman to hospital to give birth to a child, they make the man go in. They drag him in there kicking and screaming. And I don't know why they do that, because there's not much the man can do when he's in there. See, my mates all warned me before I had this whole labour thing. You know, when your wife goes through the labour pain stuff, there's nothing you can do. And if you try to do anything, you just make her angry. So as the contractions come on, don't touch her. Can I do anything? Can I get you a drink? Don't do anything. She'll be like a tiger. Rawr! Just leave her alone. So I knew all this. So when I took my wife into the labour ward, I went in with her because I had to, but I brought in with me a computer, an MP3 player, CDs, a magazine, and I was going to check up on emails. And the most amazing thing is, so for 8 hours, my wife is in labour. I'm just on the computer doing nothing. And then the baby is born, and what happens? The midwife gives you the baby, and she says, congratulations. Like, you have done all the work. Hey, hey, hey. And then you text all your mates, hey, we had a baby. What do they say? Congratulations, mate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and that's the thing with babies. You do nothing as a bloke and your blessing is born to you, just like that. And that is the message of Christmas. It's not what we do, but what God does. And our blessing is born to us. And Jesus is a blessing, not because he stays as a baby, but as we know, he grows up to become a man, and a man who heals, a man who preaches forgiveness of sins, a man who one day dies on a cross for us in our place, a man who rises from the dead and then claims to be the Son of God, and he promises the same power that raised him from the dead, he will put inside your life. And then this Jesus one day will come again and set his kingdom up here on earth, and he will right all wrongs, wipe away all tears, take away all disease, all death. In other words, this child will bring us God's peace, God's blessing to us. So do you remember our original question? Our original question was this: how can we find a blessing on Christmas Day? Well, there's one way that won't work, and that's the Santa Claus way, trying to be good and hope God will be good back to us. But there's a second way that will work, and that is God's way, Jesus being born to us. And that's why the angels say this: fear not, we have good news, because today a child has been born to you, and he will bring glory to God in the highest and peace on those who trust and follow and believe in Jesus. So where does that leave all of us here tonight? Well, it leaves us, I guess, with a choice to make. A few years ago, my first child, Toby, had his very first birthday. And my wife was trying to make a big fuss. You know, it's our first child, first birthday. She wanted the cake. She wanted the party. And I'm saying, oh, please, he's only one. He's got the brain still the size of a peanut. He doesn't know what's going on. This is more for the parents. It's not for the child. But you know, when we threw that party and when the cake came out, I saw in my son's eyes, he knew. He knew this was his special day. He knew. And that's the trick with Christmas, that it comes around every year and you got to sift through all the bells and whistles, the wrapping paper, the smoke, the mirrors, and you've got to know this is your special day that God has set up for you. Because that's what the angels say. Today A child has been born to you. And you've got to recognize that. And so if we recognize that, we will enjoy a blessing from God by trusting and following this Jesus who gives us God's peace. So if what I've said tonight has sort of made you curious and you want to check it out more, like I did too when I want to check out more about Jesus, and I signed up for something that was a bit more systematic in studying the Bible and Jesus, come at the end and talk to me or Ray and sign up for that Explaining Christianity course at Ray's house. What could go wrong? You get to read the Bible, learn more about Jesus, and eat more Tees food. And that would win it for me. Thanks very much.